On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
Thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. We thank Rob Center, our fabulous producer, may always make sure everything's ready to go for our interviews. And that today entails making sure that Mike Parker is ready to go. 15 short years ago, I could have said, okay, we have our reporter, Mike Parker, on the news line before he went off to TV and some other great fame. He's a WKOK alumni. So welcome aboard, Mike. Thanks for calling in.
Well, good morning, Mark. And not to make any of us feel any older, but that's about 19 years ago when I walked through the door there at WKOK.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that doesn't spice up the deal at all. But Mike has gone on to do well. I think almost everything he's done in his life is to just love the outdoors, and then somehow segue that into his reporting and his television work. And he is now communications director for the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission, so I can't think of a more natural fit for Mike to continue his career. So thanks for calling in. It is the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission Safe Boating Week. And I think when somebody hears, like, okay, it's another initiative, they might roll their eyes a little bit.
Right.
But honestly, this is critically important because safe boating is you got to remind people if they're veteran boaters, but you have thousands and thousands of new boaters out there. So tell us about the Safe Boating Week.
Well, Safe Boating Week is a national initiative, Mark, and it's where we join with other like-minded agencies across the country, including the U.S. Coast Guard, the National Safe Boating Council, just to remind people at a critical time of year. And in Pennsylvania, it makes a lot of sense because we're just inching up here every day on the Memorial Day weekend. And as people around your area know, this is the time of year when the boats start to fill up. Lake Augusta becomes a very, very high traffic destination. And along with that, like you mentioned, a lot of people who've been boating for years anywhere, whether they're traveling to Lake Erie, the Three Rivers of Pittsburgh, Delaware River, Susquehanna River, any of the small creeks that can accommodate canoes, kayaks, small motorized boats, up to the big power boats on Racetown Lake. Everybody needs a little reminder, especially if you're bringing along someone new. The biggest thing you can take away this week is to wear your life jacket. Make sure that you're in compliance with the law, making sure that, while you don't always have to wear a life jacket, to make sure that you have life jackets on board for everybody who's on your boat.
All right, so everybody has to have a life jacket. You don't always necessarily need to wear it if you're an adult, but what is it, 10 and under? What's the age at which time young people have to wear the life jacket?
Yeah, and the laws are all you can find. You can really brush up on the law just by going to fishandboat.com, just giving yourself a refresher course. But the basics that you need to remember when it comes to life jackets is if you've got 5 people aboard your boat, you need to have 5 life jackets on your boat. And that goes, and then if you have children aboard the boat, if the boat is 20 feet or more, then, if the boat is 20 feet or under, that includes all canoes and kayaks, then children, as defined as 12 years of age or under, then all those children need to be wearing a life jacket at all times. I think it's a safe practice for most people to evaluate the water in which you're navigating. If you're going to be in an area where there's the potential to capsize or get wet at any point, just wearing a life jacket at all times is a good rule of thumb. Life jackets are not the orange, bulky horse collar device that we, many of us grew up with, the uncomfortable ones that you see with the picture from summer camps, back in 1985. This is, as they've really evolved over the years. There's the inflatable types that barely take up any space on your body that will actually activate once they come into contact with water. And, of course, there's the standard vest type. And modern materials have made them very comfortable, softer to the touch, thinner, but still very effective, and definitely will save your life.
And you want people to know about this, so you sent them to fishandboat.com, and you got a lot of new people boning up on this. You mentioned in your news release, thousands of people are just gone to, let's say, Boscov's and buying a kayak.
Yeah, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing, depending on the approach that you take, because you can drive by through the parking lot of any box store these days, and just like you mentioned, you'll see a line of colorful, very attractive kayaks lined up against the building, and you could picture yourself in that very quickly, and many people do for a couple of $100. Now all of a sudden you've got yourself a kayak, and you throw it in the back of the pickup truck or tie it to the top of your car, and you head down to the river. Little did you know, there's all sorts of hazards out on the river that could cause you problems. There's also the general fact that you're taking your life in danger if you're not aware of proper paddling techniques, certain hazards that you could encounter along any waterway, big or small, including dams, buoys, floating debris, protruding rocks, and of course the wake from other boaters. If you're in a waterway where you're sharing, there are many conflicts between those who paddle and those who operate motorized boats. So all of those things can get you into trouble very quickly. And so what we recommend is that folks take a little bit of time. If you feel that you're interested in getting into the world of paddling, start by taking a lesson. There's a lot of folks out there who offer rentals, who offer classes, and then you can take your own online or in-person basic boating safety course. And you can find those by visiting fishandboat.com. They're available classroom situations across the state. And you can also, there's a few certified online tests that you can take for a small fee. Basically, Mark, what you need to know is that anyone who's born after 1982, so January 1st, 1982 or after, if that's where you're at when you were born, then you do need to have a boating safety certificate if you're going to be operating any boat in Pennsylvania that has a motorized motor of 25 horsepower or more. And then we also require that for anyone who's operating a jet ski. So there is that. I don't necessarily call it a loophole, but the kayaking folks don't necessarily have to worry about that particular requirement. Although as it becomes the fastest growing segment of the boating community, it really does make a lot of sense to familiarize yourself with the laws, regulations, and plan ahead. Make sure you know where you're going and what type of hazards might exist on where you plan to boat.
Well, yeah, we see folks out there on jet skis. We see folks doing paddle boards and kayaks. So there's definitely a lot of new boaters out there, and which is wonderful. That's people are drawn to the water, and we're glad they're responding, and it's becoming increasingly popular. But there is a lot to know about it. One of the things you do need to know about is that boating under the influence is a serious offense. And tell us about the risks there and the penalties.
A lot of people enjoy a can of beer or a drink while they're out on the water for the day. There's a pontoon society, if you will, that likes to gather and tie up and have a barge to enjoy festivals, just enjoy each other's company. Maybe sometimes you'll see folks along areas where they're shooting fireworks off over the river, and it becomes just the pontoon party scene is very popular. And we love to see people have a good time, although you just have to keep in mind that you're held to the same standard as far as operating the equipment. In Pennsylvania, the penalties for boating under the influence include loss of your boating privileges, fines and penalties, and of course the biggest one could be the loss of life. So the same standard that you're held to if you were pulled over operating a vehicle on the roadway at 0.08 in Pennsylvania, that means that you're legally impaired. Although, there is a question all the time, well, can I have a beer while I'm on my boat? Technically, yes, you can operate a boat and consume an alcoholic beverage, but if you do exceed that legal limit, then you're in violation. So our waterways conservation officers are out there, and they're looking for signs of impaired boaters, and they're very good at it. They're very good at looking at the training. The things that can get you in trouble would be not obeying, through a no-wake zone. That gives the officer a reason to maybe take a closer look at that boater. And then when they maybe determine that person has alcohol on board, that could be a reason for a stop, and then that's where it could get you into trouble. Of course, there were 14 fatalities boating fatalities in Pennsylvania last year. You know, back to the life jacket point, only three of those folks are wearing life jackets. And at least in one of those cases, although we're not always able to tell, depending on the time period that passed between the accident and the investigation, but we know that at least one of them was directly related to alcohol consumption.
All right, so you want folks to be mindful of that, just as you are with DUI. Most drivers today would never think about driving drunk, and the same with the boating situation. And then, of course, if you're the pilot of the boat, make sure you're responsibly monitoring what your passengers are doing, because they don't have the same rule in terms of alcohol consumption, but you definitely want some responsibility there. Any other points that are key to pass along as we observe the National Safe Boating Week?
Well, Mark, just to back on that one last point, is that there's no harm. It's a very wise decision to have a designated boat operator. So just like you'll have a designated driver when you know you're going to spend the night out on the town, you're going to spend the day out on the water with a couple of beers or a couple of drinks, then designate a boating operator. And the final thing I would say is, as you're heading out on a long hike or traveling any other way, you know, letting someone know when you're departing in your boat and when you plan to return. So I always give my wife a call if I'm traveling a couple of hours down the Pennsylvania Turnpike and I arrive in a city like Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. I always want to give her a call, let her know that I'm there. Same thing goes when you're on a boat. It gives someone a reference point should you experience a mechanical problem, a medical issue, an act of nature that you did not foresee. I think many boaters have a tale to tell about how they've been out on the water and that thunderstorm rolled through and they got stuck for a while, you know, tied up to a tree at the side of the lake or something, and it put them back a few hours. If you're fishing, you know, you could find a hot spot, and all of a sudden you're out on the water for an extra hour or two because the fishing was just so darn good. It's a good idea in our modern era here where everyone has a smartphone to, you know, carry a dry bag for those communication devices, such as your cell phone, and make sure that you're checking in with a text or a phone call to let someone know where you are. Should something happen, it's also going to, you know, aid our investigators. It's going to aid first responders in helping to locate you so that we can get you back to shore safely.
Well, I can tell you're an actual boater because you know about the true scenarios that make people late. Yes, I fell asleep at a pull-off. Yes, I found a hot spot where the smallies were biting like crazy. These are the things that make us late, so it's perfect.
That's right.
All right, well, thank you so much, Mike. Listen, you have an open mic here anytime for reminders and updates. We know we have a free fishing day coming up. What date is that? Typically, it's on or about the holidays?
It is. It's on the 29th, and we're looking forward to Mark, I think it's the
Memorial Day is the 27th.
There you go. Thank you so much.
You bet.
And it's an opportunity for folks to introduce someone to fishing and, you know, not have to take that extra step of getting a license. Of course, you do need to make yourself familiar with the regulations. So, you know, the creel limits, you know, the type of fishing that you do is still all falls into that. But we like to put those free fishing days around Memorial Day and the 4th of July to give people a chance when they might have family and friends gathered already for a picnic or even from out of town to give them a value and get out there and fish together.
Right.
So, and Mark, also, just the one last thing for the boaters, just make sure you're registered. And if you plan to use a Fish and Boat Commission or a DCNR launch point, such as at one of our beautiful state parks, that you've got your launch permit as well.
All right, noted. Thank you so much, fishandboat.com. Mike Parker's in charge of communication. He's very ably qualified in that regard, so we appreciate him calling in. Thank you so much, Mike.
Great to talk to you, Mark. Have a great summer.
Thank you very much.